The one language and one emotion that every person from every race, nationality, and religion has in common is food. Yes, it's a global language. Everyone feels the same way about food, no matter what part of the world they are in or where they come from. It is essentially a huge part of our lives, our souls, and our identity. And that's the topic of my podcast today. My name is Isha, and this podcast is called Culture Chaos. Having spent all of my life as a proud Mumbai girl, my mind sort of went for a toss when I moved abroad. And since the past 5 years, I have been traveling from one country to another and have lost count of how many cities and houses I have moved. Culture chaos is what the state of my mind is. My experiences of life away from home, trying to just make sense out of things. Let's have a small walk down memory lane. You don't need to be a foodie to experience these things. Every conversation from our childhood has a mention of at least a few favorite dishes. No festival or party or celebration is complete without food being at the center of it. If you're a foodie, you know the emotional relevance of food in every part of your life. But even if you aren't one, food will still manage to touch strings of your heart you never thought it could. Because those flavors and those smells are like a huge safety deposit vault for some of the most precious memories. Ever tasted a flavor which instantly transported you back in time to a childhood memory? A piece of cake or a spoonful of warm soup on a cold day ever reminded you of comforts of home? I have days like that where I smell something or taste something and instantly feel like my mom is around me, safely tucking me into bed. That's the power of food. I don't think anything appeals to the soul, to the memories, and to one's emotions as much as food does. I've had an interesting journey with food. In the late 90s, India had started opening the doors to big global chains. McDonald's, Pizza Hut, Domino's were all coming into the market in a big way and people welcomed them with open arms. The restaurant scene changed and Italian, Mexican and authentic Chinese and Japanese cuisines started making a room for themselves in the traditional Indian taste buds and even in the traditional Indian kitchens. Most elders weren't too thrilled and they still preferred their Punjabi and Mughlai restaurants, but our generation felt differently. Pizza for me took up the space of soul food. Pasta was among some of the first few things that I learned how to cook. I started identifying myself as a foodie and I started understanding that tasting all the flavors that were there in the world was a crucial part to my foodie identity. I would watch food TV for hours on end and would never get tired of those travel shows. The parts where the anchor would go and taste absurd foods in local night market were my absolute favorites. I wanted to be that anchor. I wanted to be that person who got paid to travel and taste such amazing foods. I learned to appreciate every flavor from those TV shows and I promised myself that I will travel and taste the best local foods there are. Trust me, I even have a travel food bucket list. It's like the list of dishes I want to taste from every country I ever dream of traveling to. In my obsession to travel the world and explore my inner foodie, I was somewhere starting to ignore my home flavors and slowly forgetting them in the process. Then I moved away from home and I came to New York, a global city where the food scene is among some of the best in the world. I would find authentic flavors from different parts of the world hidden in small, unassuming, hole-in-the-wall restaurants near train stations. It was heaven for me and I was excited beyond belief. But within my first few weeks in New York, I started feeling a void. As a Desi, it bothered me that breakfast was sweet and not savory. From cereals to muffins to breakfast breads, why was breakfast sweet? I missed my poha and my idlis and would wake up to dreaming of parathas. Those bagels and muffins every morning started tasting like punishment. Now, when given a choice between going for a slice of pizza, which I once called my soul food, or getting a bite of something home-cooked like rotis or dal, I suddenly started preferring home-cooked meals. The me that used to run behind pizza and salads and sandwiches started looking for small Indian joints and started finding comfort in those two-minute conversations I used to have with the aunties and uncles running those joints. I remember there used to be an Indian takeout place near my first student housing. I would go there a couple of times a week. Their menu used to be pretty simple, just a few dals and a few vegetable curries that they would serve over rice. Every time I would go there tired and exhausted from college and ordered one of the vegetable curries over rice, the auntie who ran the restaurant would ask me, "Beta, thodi dal aur dal do," which translates to, "Should I give you some more dal with the curry?" I felt the love in the food, the way the restaurant smelled, in the way that auntie talked to me, in that whole process. It reminded me of my comfort zone. Honestly, I only understood the true meaning of comfort food when I moved out of my childhood home and started living by myself. Comfort food is something that brings you a sense of peace and absolute satisfaction. It makes you feel relaxed and makes you feel safe. Try to think of your childhood. The house had a certain fragrance every time dinner would start getting prepared in the kitchen. That aroma is comfort. Every time we would get a flu or a fever, remember that bowl of khichdi or that soup that mom would cook for you? That's comfort. Coming back after a tough exam on the last day of school and having that after-school snack, that's comfort. Late night studying and preparing Maggie at 3 a.m., that is comfort food, and I realized those things a little too late after I had moved out of my comfort zone. I started realizing how little I knew and valued those flavors when I was back home and how much my heart and soul needed those tastes now. Those snacks, pickles and laddus that I was stopping my mom from packing when I first moved here became my go-tos. I started sending my parents lists of food I wanted them to bring me on their next visit here. It's a known fact that homesickness starts kicking in a few months after one has been in a new place. For that, food can be an immediate and sometimes the only remedy. It is just something about the satisfaction of finding those tastes we are familiar with. That satisfaction is hard to replicate with anything else. I wanted to learn more about it. My phone conversations with my family started revolving more and more around food. Sometimes it would be me asking about the most basic recipe that I grew up eating, while sometimes my dad would just put the iPad on the dinner table while everyone was having dinner. I had never really enjoyed and valued my home-cooked Indian meals so much before I left home. Every time I would find Indian food here or cook a simple meal at home, I felt a strange sense of composure. Food had suddenly started playing a major role in my sense of being. It would get reaffirmed every time I would have visitors, and they would love the home-cooked meals that I would cook for them. Their reaction to those tastes really reaffirmed my faith in our cuisine. I soon understood what my food meant for my identity. It was who I really was, where I came from, and what I represented. Somewhere, me being in this melting pot of cultures helped me come closer to my real identity. I wanted to know more about where I really came from. I wanted to learn more about those culinary traditions, the recipes, the science behind it all. In times like now, when the world is getting smaller and people are moving out of their countries and assimilating into different global cultures, it becomes even more crucial to have a complete idea of where one comes from. Immigrants are notorious for having cliques and having difficulty in adapting to the traditions of the new countries that they've moved to. They're notorious for not being able to blend. I would agree to disagree with that. Every person who first moves to a different culture is faced with a question of whether to assimilate into the new country or whether to hold on to the back home traditions. Every first generation often struggles with finding that balance. But I feel that the very first step of adapting to a new culture begins in one's kitchen. You start experimenting, you start coming up with fusions, and you start finding that perfect balance. That balance is the key to becoming a global citizen with a strong sense of identity. I am certain that I want to give this experience to my future generations. I can't replicate everything because of the geographical barriers, but replicating the cuisine is something that I can and I will do. I want to carry on the traditions. I want to speak to our grandparents and our parents and all the people who cook in the family. For me, I know that I want to save those oral traditions and continue passing on the treasures to the coming generations. I'm going to continue talking about my various experiences as trying to find comfort away from home. The next episode in this series is on the almost crippling challenges that some of us face with visas. Please subscribe to get updates about the future episodes. This podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube, and you can find more content for Culture Chaos on Twitter, Tumblr, and Facebook. Thank you for listening. This is Isha, and you're listening to Culture Chaos.